Your teachings primarily seems to focus around masculine and feminine expressions of divinity and how that comes through human form, how it's not specifically correlated or related to men and women, but how each of us has both, but there are these male and female aspects of God that tend to come through in different ways through people. What I've seen a lot of is that, for example, a woman who's hearing and seeing how the feminine flows, that she tries to make herself become more feminine, to try and flow. And it seems quite often people will cultivate like a spiritual shell of openness. They'll act in a way that looks open or act in a way that looks sexually full and flowing. And I'm wondering how can people try to keep that authenticity of practice and not just cultivating another shell on top of their other shells?
Well, first of all, the only reason that I emphasize the masculine and feminine aspects of divinity or love is because at this time in our culture, that's one of the main confusions with which people identify. And so again, as a plumber rather than a teacher, I'm addressing where the clogs are. And so where most people are clogged in one of the major places is in their identity along the masculine feminine spectrum. And it is a spectrum. And the way I use those terms, or masculine is the side of the spectrum that is masculine, is identified with the emptiness of consciousness itself. And the side of the spectrum that is feminine is identified with the light of consciousness, or the luminosity of cognition. And so in the luminous knowingness or aliveness of every moment, there's the masculine side of the spectrum, which is the witness or consciousness with no qualities, and there's the feminine side of the spectrum, which is the manifestation of the light of consciousness, or the light or radiance of cognition itself, of love itself. And that's the more feminine side of the spectrum. Now, all of us obviously are cognitive luminosity. We're light, alive as knowing. We're both. We're the unity of consciousness and light. We're conscious light. But one way that we become very distorted in our expression and our reception of that love is by armoring ourselves and misgiving or receiving the conscious light that is. Now, the reason sex is, and the reason sex is as important to humans as it is because in the human domain, which is just one domain of reality, it's the domain that we're talking in right now, in this human domain, there are two primary sexual aspects, the masculine and feminine, and they come through two bodies that are more masculine or feminine. Now, every, say, man could manifest more masculine or feminine energy moment by moment, and every woman can manifest masculine or feminine energy moment by moment. If one were utterly relaxed, if one were completely surrendered to be lived by the love that one is, then one would spontaneously find oneself expressing love in the way that the born vehicle of the human is built to express it. It's like a musical instrument, like a piano plays piano sounds and a flute plays flute sounds. You don't play piano if you want flute sounds. You can't get the sounds of a drum out of a trumpet. Well, in the same way, someone like, again, we'll use Ramana Maharshi since he's well known, expressed through an extremely masculine vehicle, pure consciousness. Somebody like, say, Ananda Mayama, who was a woman relatively contemporary with Ramana Maharshi, she expressed consciousness or love through a more feminine vehicle, and therefore there was more of a bodily, energetic, devotional aspect, using lights, you know, candles and incense and chanting and singing, and because it's the energetic expression, energy being light, which is the feminine expression. Now, which is more true, the silence and emptiness of consciousness, or the devotional singing of the utterly surrendered heart? I don't think one's more true than the other. They're just different ways of expressing. And if one were relaxed completely, as one is, that expression would come spontaneous and naturally. But because in our culture we have an extremely masculinized culture, most men and women, including spiritually, have overvalued the masculine and undervalued the feminine in themselves and in others. So people who come to me for whatever services I can offer them, amongst other patterns they present to me, are the patterns that they have used to compensate with their parents that have developed in a distortion of their vehicle in terms of their masculine and feminine expression. They come to me, you know, it's natural for the feminine to want to be seen and to give radiant light. But if your family didn't support you, that you are a being of light, and said, well, it's not how you look, it's how much money you make that's important, then this individual might over-identify with their masculine consciousness, which allows them to step out of life and create a purpose and achieve goals through direction. All of that emanates from the masculine side of the spectrum, whereas the capacity to flow open as energy emanates from the feminine side of the spectrum. If they came from a family that suppressed the feminine but supported the masculine, and yet they had a essence, their vehicle was more geared to express, just as the trumpet is more geared to express trumpet sounds than piano sounds, if their vehicle was more geared to express the feminine form of divinity than the masculine, and yet they forced themselves to express the masculine, they would be creating tension in their body, fear, division within themselves, and suffering in others, since it creates disharmony around them. And so the work that I would do with them is not so much adopting a new set of behaviors, like becoming, acting more feminine, whatever that means. It would be relaxing and discovering their true heart's expression through their body. What is their heart's deepest yearning? What is their heart's deepest desire? How would their heart express their deepest love if that fear and the patterns that they've accumulated weren't distorting that? Well, I help them undistort those patterns, at least temporarily, so they can get a feel for what that expression would be like. They feel how more true to their heart that expression is, and then they can practice various practices to relieve themselves of the patterns that have distorted unnecessarily the beautiful expression of their heart spontaneously. Again, in most of your questions, you're representing a kind of dictionary of faulty practice. And if anyone thinks that they have to be a certain way, they're already coming from wrong practice. If they're trying to make themselves behave in a more masculine or feminine style, they're coming from faulty practice. There's no making. One shouldn't make oneself behave a certain way or anyone else. It's a matter of relaxing and allowing the most genuine or authentic expression to come through your body, your mind, your emotions, your vehicle, the way it's built. And if you're built like a trumpet, then God sounds like a trumpet through you. If you're built like a piano, God sounds like a piano. If you're built more masculine, God comes through you more masculine. If you're built more feminine, God comes through you more feminine. And everyone's a combination of masculine and feminine. So there's no way to predetermine that or to force somebody to be that. But certainly, when the note is true, when the instrument is playing the sound that is native to its birth, that is native to its existence, that is its genuine and authentic expression, everybody in the room, so to speak, can feel it. And it is art. And it's highly valued because so few people express love so directly in the form that they were born to. And the ring of truth or the depth of that love is felt so fully by people. It's valued in a literal way. People will pay to be around somebody who's allowing love or God or consciousness to come through their vehicle, true to the form of their vehicle, it's a valuable experience for others. It's an artful experience, whereas people who have distorted their expressions create tension around them, and people will essentially pay to stay away from those people and not have to experience the torture of someone who is perhaps built, so to speak, to express light more fully, attempting to be in silent consciousness, or to feel the torture of somebody who would love to relax as the emptiness of consciousness, forcing themselves to flow in energy and express themselves in a more characteristically feminine style. That's torturous to people and their friends and lovers. So again, I would never support somebody imitating a style or attempting to behave in a masculine or feminine style, whatever that means, but I would completely support somebody discovering how their born vehicle most naturally expresses the most profound love that they're willing to surrender and be lived by.
It seems there are so few people that can see that difference between natural and normal. And so many people say, I am just being, you know, normal. I'm just being natural. This is just my natural expression. And as you're saying, that there isn't that resonance, that depth, that feeling on the outside that this person is true to their natural karma or their way of being. It's like you can feel that they've learned something, and it's so hard for them to feel deeper than that into what is natural for them, because they're so stuck in the normalness of them. And it seems like sometimes you have to quite strongly allow them to feel the pain of their normal patterns and behavior.
Well, as you know from firsthand experience, that's what we do when I work with people. We allow them to feel the consequences of how they're being, so that they can feel the difference between what you describe as normal and what I was describing as natural. And I agree with you, it's almost impossible for people to tell that difference, because they've become used to the normal, and that feels natural to them, even though it might just be a wad of habits that are creating pain in the world. They have become accustomed to being that way, to behaving that way, to acting that way, even emotionally acting that way or mentally acting that way, in addition to physically acting that way. So that reflection from the outside, that feedback, is sometimes very stark and shocking. And there are very few people who are even willing to trust that feedback, that the note you are making, so to speak, the sound you are emitting, the light you are giving, feels to everyone in this room to be a twisted version of your natural gifts. And then to help them untwist that and give their natural gifts, and then everyone in the room reflects, ah, yes, and everyone's face lights up and everyone's heart opens more deeply and the art is obvious. Still, the individual, because that self-structure is struggling to justify its own separate existence, will simply not believe that feedback and will attempt to reconstitute the normal in the face of the natural for usually years or decades. So it often takes years or decades of practice for people to allow their natural gift to be expressed, rather than always justifying their normal gift, even in the face of direct and, you know, unanimous feedback by their loved ones, by people who have nothing but their best in mind in giving that reflection.
One of the benefits of being a teacher, in quote marks, is the opportunity to meet a lot of different spiritual teachers. And in traveling around the world for the last few years, for me, this is so clearly a next step that you're plumbing, as you call it, somehow seems to get to the heart of the matter so much more quickly and clearly, and in a very pragmatic and easy to understand in our daily lives way. And one of the startling things that I saw that in doing like a world tour and coming back a second place to areas that have already received your teaching and seeing how deeply these people were touched by your plumbing the first time they were there and how they could see that it was the next step for them. They could see how it could totally open them to being who they are more deeply. And then coming back the second time and seeing how they just said, no, it's too strong, or they're not interested, or it's not right for them now. And just how few people do continue to really practice this with any level of authenticity. And I'm wondering if you sort of have any reflection on why that's so.
Well, as my friend and the great philosopher Ken Wilber has told me, and as his work shows, all of us are moving through stages of opening, and different parts of us open at different rates and so forth. It's not a simple linear thing, but each of us represents a different degree of opening, and there are different parts of us that are ready to open at different rates. And there are just fewer and fewer people ready to open as deeply as can be offered. So I would never suggest that anybody who does work with me and then has the revelation of how they're closing and is given skills and learns how to open, and as you say, their immediate response is one of extreme enthusiasm and a kind of awe that one can live that way. And then over time, there's what I call the rubber band effect, where they snap back either quickly or slowly into their old place of being. And from that place of relative closure, they look at what they had done with me, perhaps, and they are shocked. It feels so out there. It feels so unnormal. And yet, when they were doing it, it was very natural, very open, obvious to everybody that openness was openness and closure was closure. And there's no support structure, so they lose touch with how open they could be. And the way that the self structure is built is it's autopoietic, it's self-creating, it creates itself, it's built to sustain itself. And the only way somebody's sense of self can sustain itself in the face of a potentially more open way of being is by justifying that more open way of being is wrong or evil. So that's a form of projection or transference onto the source of openness that it is wrong or evil, or they do it internally and they feel it onto themselves that they are wrong or evil for not opening, and so they feel bad rather than just realizing there could be more openness and more closure, and everyone's choosing the degree of openness or closure that they're choosing moment by moment. Some of those choices are conscious, some are habitual. All can be reflected to them in a loving atmosphere that they could then choose to practice with and open or not. And I think there are very, very few people, as you know, who are willing to stay with something that is showing their self-structure that it is obsolete, that in fact they're what they've always thought they were is causing pain to others. And that willingness to let go of all of that, to die to all of that, to surrender to love, to be lived by love completely rather than to be lived by one's what you call normal way of being, their patterns, requires a significant disillusionment with life as it is. And most people aren't that significantly disillusioned. They like their life normal, as you say. And I would again suggest to those people, stay with their normal life until they're so utterly disillusioned they have no choice really but to surrender to a love that is larger than them, and then to use the feedback of others to help tune their vehicle so it conducts or resonates with that love that is larger than them. And even though that might not be comfortable, it usually isn't because they're not used to it, and even though that might be open them in a way that brings up all kinds of suppressed pains from the past, all kinds of hurt of not being seen, of not being loved, of not knowing their deepest purpose, of wasting their life, all the things that they've been mollifying or covering over through their daily life of, you know, eating and listening to music in their car on their way to work and thinking they're involved in spiritual practice, all the things they've been using their life for in order not to feel that they haven't the slightest idea where they're going, they haven't the slightest idea who they are, they do not feel loved, nor are they giving their deepest gift of love. People don't want to feel that. And to sustain the capacity to feel that is fairly rare. And it's only that kind of person who will continue doing this kind of work. And again, because I don't consider myself a teacher in the sense of wanting students and establishing a teaching, that's fine with me. People could go and gravitate to whatever teaching they feel they want to gravitate towards, and then if they find my work valuable to them, they could come and I will offer them a service, and that service will be showing them not where I think they are at, but where everybody feels them from. And where everybody feels them from is almost always not where any person thinks they're at. Their self-image is constructed, it's self-constructed and self-maintained by pushing away that which is more true. So I offer them an opportunity to see that, not to push it away.